Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers season has come to an end after a 4-2 loss to the Braves on Saturday night. We've got some stuff to talk about specific to that game six, plus some thoughts on the series and the season as a whole. Lots to talk about. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am flying solo today, but Vince should be back with me tomorrow. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the still reigning world champion Los Angeles Dodgers for at least another week, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And yeah, the Dodgers, unfortunately, for just the second time in the last 5 years, we'll not be playing in the World Series. But maybe by this time next week, we will have a new World Series champion and we'll have to slightly alter that intro. But for now, we're going to live it up as long as we can until somebody else has won the World Series. The Dodgers are still the reigning World Series champions. And so that's what we're going to talk about. But, you know, lots to talk about here. We've got game six of the postseason of the NLCS to talk about. There's a lot of intrigue there on the pitching side with Max Scherzer not being able to go when they thought he was going to be able to. A lot of stuff to talk about with that game specifically, the series as a whole and the season as a whole. So that's what we're going to be talking about. First, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. And if you're not watching or listening every day, add one or two days a month to your rotation, and we would appreciate that. We are going to keep coming to you every weekday morning, even during the off season. Obviously, the shows will be a little bit different. We won't have games to talk about like we do during the season, but we will, there's plenty to talk about. There will be free agency, which it's going to be a very intriguing off season for the Dodgers. There's also, a lot of kind of evergreen topics. I'm a big fan of baseball history, Dodgers history, and so stuff that we can't really get to during the regular season because there is always a game to talk about. So we're going to get to some of that stuff, hopefully have some guests, some players in the Dodgers organization, just a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff planned. If you have any ideas for us of topics you'd like us to cover, feel free to shoot us a message. I'll give you all the contact info at the end if you don't already know it. But we are going to keep coming to you. We have been doing this show for 2.5 years, and we have never missed an episode Monday through Friday, even in the off season. We're giving you 5 episodes a week. And so we appreciate you showing up to watch and or listen. So thank you for that. The Dodgers lost game six and it was lousy. They lost 4-2. Really, it was two key innings that turned that game. You had the bottom of the fourth inning, I think it was, bottom of the third. I can't remember now. With two outs, the Braves put together a rally. They got a walk from Travis d'Arnaud, a double from Adrianza, which brought up Eddie Rosario. And I've already made my feelings clear on the idea of Eddie Rosario suddenly being the best player in baseball. I would have been opposed if they had asked my opinion, but nobody asked me. So apparently that measure carried without me. It was a good at bat. Buehler made some tough pitches. Unfortunately, he made the same pitch for the fourth or fifth time in the at-bat, and Rosario hit it over the right field wall, turned a 1-1 game into a 4-1 game, and that was all the scoring the Braves needed. And then in the top of the seventh, I believe it was, the Dodgers put together a rally of their own, had already scored one run, had second and third, nobody out, off of Luke Jackson, the same guy they rallied against in game three. And second and third, nobody out, down by two runs. It seemed really promising that the Dodgers could at least get one more run in, maybe even tie the game up. And instead, Albert Pujols struck out swinging, Steven Souza struck out looking, and Mookie Betts struck out swinging, all against Tyler Matzek, who apparently he is the best pitcher in baseball now. So another thing I wasn't aware of coming into the series, but he looked really good. And it was frustrating. You know, the infield was back. They weren't even playing the infield in. So if Pujols hits a ground ball to shortstop, which we've seen him do plenty this year, you know, he hit into a bunch of double plays for the Dodgers. If he hits a ground ball to shortstop, it scores a run. If he hits a fly ball, it scores a run. It was Bellinger on third. Bellinger's extremely fast. Anything to the outfield would have scored a run. You know, so many different ways to score a run there. The one way to not score a run is to strike out. And that's what he did. And then Steven Souza didn't take his bat off his shoulder. Looked at strike three, fastball right down the middle. Just guessed wrong, I guess. And then Mookie looked at two strikes and then swung and missed. And, you know, it's not like it's an approach thing. Obviously, Pujols and Betts, at least, are way too experienced to not know what's needed of them in that situation. They just got beat by Tyler Matzek. You know, that's a thing that happens in baseball sometimes, and it sucks, you know. But that kind of took the wind out of the Dodgers' sails. There was a lot of momentum there. It looked like they might, like I said, at least, you know, score a run or maybe even tie the game or take the lead. And instead, they got nothing else. And Tyler Matzek came out and pitched another inning. And, you know, the wind was out of their sails. It doesn't mean the game was over at that point. But ultimately, you know, that was their best scoring opportunity, and it didn't happen. And that was kind of emblematic of the whole series. The Dodgers, you know, obviously they had some good games. They had some big hits. But overall, they struggled to hit with runners in scoring position. And in a lot of ways, they just struggled to hit overall. You know, if you had told us going into the postseason, Cody Bellinger is going to bat 360-something or whatever it was in the NLCS, our question would have been, well, but can he keep that up in the World Series? But, you know, the fact is, Bellinger was one of the only ones who did hit in this series. You know, Mookie struggled in this series. Will Smith struggled. Trey Turner struggled. Corey Seager struggled. They were all pretty much really bad in this series. And you can't win that way, unfortunately. And then especially with the pitching issues that they had, I guess I'll talk more about the pitching issues in a minute, but, you know, offensively it was a slog. And the fact is, you know, yes, the Dodgers had some late injuries. The late injury to Max Muncy was a big blow to the team. You see people on Twitter saying, well, the Braves lost Ronald Acuna and stuff. And, you know, it's not the same because the Braves lost Ronald Acuna in July and were able to replace him with literally four outfielders. After the Braves lost Ronald Acuna, they traded for Jock Peterson and Adam Duvall and Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario to replace Ronald Acuna. The Dodgers lost Max Muncy in the last series of the season. Didn't have the, so they replaced him with Steven Souza Jr. You know, and that's a little bit different. But in the end, you know, injuries are part of baseball. It doesn't make the Braves win less legitimate. It doesn't make the Dodgers loss less legitimate. The fact is, that's part of baseball. That's one of the reasons that's why it's so hard to win the World Series, because things happen. You know, whether it's Eddie Rosario deciding to be the best player in baseball for a couple of weeks, or, you know, Madison Bumgarner being significantly better in the postseason in 2014 than he had ever been in any regular season over that span of time. You know, it happens every year. Randy Arozarena last year kind of did the same thing. Guys just get hot at the right time. And sometimes it's Dodgers and sometimes it's not. And, you know, the fact is, most of the time it's not going to be the Dodgers. Just statistically speaking, it can't be the Dodgers every year. And so this year was a combination of Eddie Rosario getting hot, a little bit of bad luck health-wise, and the Dodgers just going cold at the wrong time. And that was a bummer. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk more about the pitching side of things, and then later we'll dig into the you know, the overall season outlook, looking back at the season and the series and all that stuff. You know, it's kind of a bummer of an episode, a sad episode, but sad episodes can be cathartic. So we'll get to that part in the last segment, but I'll come back and talk about the pitching in a second. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, if you're not familiar, you guys, you Catch the Game Live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. And that's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right. So on the pitching side of things in this series, Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer were both pretty ineffective in their first games of the series. And then we thought, okay, but they'll be on full rest. And so hopefully in game 6 and 7, they can pitch better. And if the offense shows up a little bit, everything will be good. Instead, we found out on Friday night that Max Scherzer would not be pitching on Saturday. And I said on Twitter at the time, I don't want Walker Buehler to pitch on short rest. And it wasn't that I expected him to be bad. He was actually better the one time he pitched on short rest in this postseason than he was in some of his other games, but he didn't go very deep in that game. And that was more my concern. Like when you go into the last two games, knowing you need to win them both, and you know that Walker Buehler is going to pitch one of them, I'd rather have him pitch the game where he's most likely to be the best version of Walker Buehler. And, you know, and that changed a little bit when I found out that they were planning or at least hoping for Max Scherzer to pitch game 7, that it wasn't Max Scherzer being scratched. It was them doing a flip-flop of Buehler and Scherzer. Changed my opinion a little bit. But ultimately, my main opinion was, I hope I'm wrong about this. I really wanted to be wrong. And, you know, who knows? I don't necessarily think that the short rest was why Buehler gave up the home run to Rosario. It was definitely at least part of the reason that he only went a few innings. And that's an issue, although the bullpen pitched great for the most part. I might have still preferred for them to just go with a straight bullpen game in game 6 and then piggyback Scherzer and Buehler in game 7. I don't know. It's all hindsight now, but you know, ultimately they were put in a tough spot when Max Scherzer wasn't ready to pitch game 6. And, you know, having seen him struggle with health or with dead arm or whatever, yeah, previously, you know, it's a hard situation to be in. And having lost Kershaw the last weekend of the series of the season, suddenly they went from having 4 starters who you could feel pretty good about to having 1.5 maybe. And that's a hard thing to overcome. And so they did the best they could. They threw Buehler, and in that at bat against Rosario, you know, there's plenty of second guessing happening in the moment. You know, it's not even after the home run happened. There were plenty of people saying, why is Buehler still in here? Why, you know, Alex Vesey was warming up. Why don't they bring in Vesey to face Rosario? Or why don't they walk Rosario to get to Freeman? And those things, it's like, I mean, Vesey got in the game later against that same part of the lineup, and he walked all 3 guys he faced. You know, would he have done the same thing if he had come in at that situation? We'll never know. Maybe it was because he had already warmed up and sat down that he struggled with his command. Who knows? But, you know, it's not like Vesia was guaranteed to get Rosario out. I think Rosario was 2 for 3 against Vesia in this series. So, you know, maybe it's a better move, maybe not. As for walking Rosario to get to Freeman, I don't like that because regardless of what happened in the NLCS, Freddie Freeman is a better hitter than Eddie Rosario. Intentionally loading the bases to get to Freddie Freeman seems like a bad move to me, and I understand why the Dodgers didn't do that. You know, they if you had walked, or if you bring out Buehler, take out Buehler, bring in Vesia, and then he does walk Rosario, you know, then he's facing Freeman with bases loaded. You know, if he walks them, run score that way. If he gets Rosario out, well, the pitcher spot was coming up second in the next inning, and so then you've used Vesia. But you use Vesia, one of your main weapons against Freeman, and he has to come out of the game. And so you've used him without him even getting to face Freddie Freeman. So there are no easy answers there. There's plenty of, I'm not saying Dave Roberts made the right move. You guys know my opinion on right moves for managers. I don't really think they exist. I think, you know, there's shades of gray, and he made a decision. The pitch sequence that they chose to go with through Rosario, they never did go with anything off speed. Buehler's worked on that changeup a lot. I thought during the at-bat, man, he sped him up so much. If he could execute a changeup right here, he might get a swing and miss. That would have been huge. They never did. It was cutter and sinker the whole time. And, you know, the cutter is what ended up getting hit for a home run, and it was kind of the same pitch he had seen several times. And, you know, Eddie Rosario right now, seeing the beach ball, isn't going to swing and miss that many times. And so, you know, I don't know what the right answer would have been. I know that that was a frustrating inning to have 2 outs and then walk a guy, then give up a double to, I know the TBS broadcast talked a lot about a lot about Adrianza being their best pinch hitting option, but he's still a hero, Ahiri Adrianza, whose name, there's a reason I can't pronounce his name. It's because I've heard it said like seven times in my life. He's not a good hitter, but you know, and even that, he got his bat broken and blooped in a double. It's like there was some stupid dumb luck, and then a home run by Eddie Rosario, which kind of, again, is emblematic of the series. Hey, let's have some stupid luck, and then Eddie Rosario do something really good. And so it was frustrating, but I don't know what they could have done otherwise. And then the rest of the game, other than Vesia, everybody pitched well. They did their part. You know, Kenley Jansen finished off a great postseason. He did give up a base hit and then an intentional walk. So he ended up second and third. He gave up a bloop double. Yeah, ended up second and third with two outs, but he got out of it, you know, and it wasn't even really that dangerous, or not based on how he pitched. So he had a great dominant postseason, may have made himself some money this postseason because he's going to be a free agent. And I think there's going to be teams looking for closers who are at least somewhat interested in him. The whole bullpen pitched great. And it was a bummer that the offense couldn't come through and get some runs for them. You know, I don't even know what the answer is. I think the main answer is the Braves outplayed the Dodgers. And in a way, it's easier to swallow this because the Dodgers just got outplayed. In 2019, those of you who were listening to this show back then, you'll remember my episode after the Dodgers lost Game 5 of the NLDS in 2019. And it was a bummer of an episode. And because the Dodgers lost on an unforced error. The Dodgers lost on one of those times, those rare times, when there is a right decision and a wrong decision, or at least a wrong decision that a manager can make. And Dave Roberts made it, bringing Clayton Kershaw out to pitch the eighth inning of that game. Even if it had worked, it would have been the wrong decision. And it didn't work. And so that was frustrating. That was a hard one to live down. This one, maybe it's partly because they won the World Series last year. But I think it's mostly just because they just got outplayed. And that's easier to swallow. You know, when the Dodgers lost to the Astros in 2017, at the time, I was like, okay, you know, the Astros played really well. They're a really good team. You know, they just got outplayed. You find out later that they cheated and it changes things. 2018, the Red Sox were a better team than the Dodgers. The Red Sox were an excellent team. Yeah, there was times it was frustrating that Dodgers had chances to win some games and they didn't. But ultimately, it would have been an upset if the Dodgers had beat the Red Sox in that series. So that one, you know, 2019 is the one that was really hard to accept. This one is kind of back to they got outplayed. Not that the Braves are a better team than the Dodgers. I don't believe that they are. But, you know, the MLB postseason hasn't been geared towards finding the best team in baseball in a long time. It's been geared towards, let's see who wins a tournament. You know, back when it was literally just the winner of the National League against the winner of the American League before divisional play, then, yeah, you basically, okay, the best team is probably going to win the World Series. It didn't always happen, but most of the time. Ever since they introduced divisional play in the 60s, early 70s, whenever it was, that it started to go away from that to being more of a, hey, it's a tournament at the end of the season. You got to get into the tournament. Since they went to two wildcard teams, it's definitely that. You know, the fact is the best team in baseball only wins the World Series about 30% of the time. Last year was an anomaly that it happened to be the best team in the National League against the best team in the American League. And it was surprising that it happened last year because it was the longest postseason ever, having to play an extra series. So the most opportunity for a good team to get knocked off by a lesser team, you know, the Brewers very easily could have won two out of three from the Dodgers. They didn't, you know, but so it was kind of weird that it ended up being the two best teams last year. That's very rare. And so, you know, in the end, that's part of why I've been able to remain a Dodger fan my whole life, despite the fact that they haven't won that many World Series in my lifetime. They've won three. And one of them, I was 4 years old. They've won two that I remember. But for me, it's not about winning the World Series necessarily. Obviously, that's fun. I loved it last year. But, you know, you can have a great season and not win the World Series. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk more about that idea. Just kind of look at this season overall, how it was, you know, my takeaways from this season, thoughts on that. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, Built Bar, you know about Built Bar, best tasting protein bar in the world. Yeah, if you haven't tried it yet, you need to. go to built.com. They will make you up a mixed box where you get two each of nine flavors and you can taste them all and you decide what you like, what you don't like as much, and then just order the stuff you like. But I promise you, you're going to find something you like because they are all delicious. And the cool part is they're all super healthy too. They all are very low sugar, very low carb, which you don't always get in a protein bar. They're usually focused on the protein side of things. Well, Built Bar is focused on being healthy. So they all have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and carbs, and they're all delicious. And so you're going to find something you like. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, let's talk about this season overall as a whole. Overall, it was a great season for the Dodgers. I've seen a lot of people say it was frustrating. I hardly ever felt that. You know, there were some individual games that were frustrating, but, maybe we've been spoiled. Maybe it was just, seeing guys who should be in AAA striking out in the big leagues. That can be frustrating at times. But mostly, I think it was the idea that this was a 120-win team that only, quote-unquote, only won 106 games. Yeah, the offense was sometimes boom or bust. We heard that phrase a lot this year. But I suspect that it wasn't a ton more boom or bust than a lot of teams. I'm going to dig more into this and probably do a show on this at some point in this offseason. But, I do know that the Dodgers averaged 5.12 runs per game this year. And that's the mean, which is another word for average. Well, the median and the mode were both 5. And, basically that means there's a symmetric distribution of runs. And I guess if you have a lot of, there's other ways that can happen, but I suspect that if I look into this, I'm going to find that Dodgers weren't actually that much more boom or bust than most teams, I saw people saying, well, they scored 11 runs in game four. So they're not, or in game five. So they're not going to score in game six. There were plenty of times this year when the Dodgers scored a bunch of runs in back-to-back games. There were times that we remember where, they scored 10 and then scored one the next game or whatever, because we remember the failures. But there were also plenty of times that they scored a bunch of runs, and then the next game they scored not quite as many, but still a bunch of runs. It was just one of those seasons, and it's confirmation bias and all those other recency bias. We remember the bad things. It's why I've joked before, I think every baseball fan in the world thinks that his or her favorite team has the worst manager in baseball, the worst bullpen in baseball, and the worst performance with runners in scoring position in baseball. And most teams don't have the worst of those things. I bet no team has ever had the actual worst of all three of those things. But most baseball fans, because you remember, oh, that bonehead move by that manager, he's the worst manager. Oh, that one bullpen implosion, we have the worst bullpen. Oh, left the bases loaded, we have the worst luck with runners in scoring position. But really, it's just what we remember. And there's plenty of good to remember too. And so, it was an interesting season that, more than any season I can remember, fans not feeling satisfied despite the fact that the Dodgers literally tied their record for most wins in a season. It was, by any measure, a great season, and yet we were left unsatisfied. And losing the NLCS is not going to help with that feeling overall. It adds to the level of dissatisfaction. But for me personally, it was a fun season. Like I said, I don't watch the Dodgers all season long just because I need them to win the World Series so that it won't have been a waste. Part of the value for me in being a baseball fan is the 6 months of the regular season where you get to watch your team play. Excuse me. I went to Dodger Stadium a bunch of times, watched the Dodgers win games. I was there for the wild card game when Chris Taylor hit the walk-off home run. I was there at the game when Will Smith hit the walk-off home run against the Giants. I was there when the Dodgers scored 11 runs in the first inning against the Cardinals. I was also there, unfortunately, when the Dodgers got no hit by the Cubs. I was there at the home opener when they beat the Nationals. I was there, I was at a bunch of games. I was also at opening day in Colorado when they lost to the Rockies. There was ups and downs all year, but for me, Dodger Stadium is my favorite place, tied with Disneyland, my favorite place in the world. And I love being there. I love hanging out with fellow Dodger fans. you know, after Chris Taylor's home run in the wild card game was some of the most fun I've had. Just after that game, 15 minutes after the home run, the stadium was still rocking. Nobody had left. And we're still talking to strangers and having so much fun. You know, that's what baseball is about for me. And I know it's cheesy. And I've accepted that, you know, in my old age, I'm cheesy. You know, I'm a dad. I'm an emotional dad. And I look at this big picture garbage. And it's like, for me, the value in being a baseball fan is enjoying watching baseball. And we've been very lucky as Dodger fans that the last 9 years, we haven't just gotten 6 months. We've gotten 7 months. And yeah, that seventh month is often excruciating and painful, at least at the end. But there's also a lot of fun. You know, Chris Taylor's home run in the wild card game, Cody Bellinger's home run earlier in this series, Chris Taylor's three home run game. There was a lot of fun in these last couple of weeks, even though at the end of the day, yeah, the Dodgers are going home like 29 other teams without a World Series title. Only the Astros or Braves now have a chance to win a World Series title, either a team that hasn't won one in 26 years or a team that's never won a legitimate one. One of them is going to win the World Series. And, you know, I guess if you're a fan of those teams, that's exciting. For me, it's a bummer, you know, and it's going to be hard for me. I don't know if I'm going to watch the World Series. I hate watching baseball at Minute Maid Park because I hate that stadium. I think it's a garbage stadium. And, you know, just how I sometimes feel about the fans who are in that stadium, you know, I have no desire. I may watch some of the games that are in Atlanta. I don't know, but, you know, it's a rough time when your team loses and gets eliminated. You know, losing the World Series is rough. It's awful, but at least then the baseball season has the decency to be over. Baseball's over for everybody. When you lose the World Series, now when you lose before the World Series, it's like, wait, there's still baseball going on? Baseball ended, you know, it's Christmas season now. I've shaved my playoff beard. You know, now you could just see my fat face instead of my gray beard. And, you know, baseball season's over. And so I may watch a game or two. I don't know, but you know, it's a hard time. I last night after, you know, on Saturday night after the game was over, I'm kind of just decompressing and I'm tweeting out, you know, cathartic, cheesy things on Twitter. And a few different times, my daughter asked me, "Dad, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" And she's like, "Well, you're just sighing." So I was just, apparently every once in a while, I was just going, oh, and that sad sigh, you know, and that's what baseball does to us sometimes, but it also makes us really happy sometimes. And even when it breaks our heart, you know, the fact is we're still Dodger fans. We're still, you know, I've said it before, and I know fans of other teams feel this way too. And the fact that they're wrong is okay. But being a Dodger fan is the greatest thing in sports. You know, we are lucky. However we became Dodger fans, I was born into it. However you became a Dodger fan, you're lucky that you did. You know, whether you hopped on the bandwagon at some time in these last 9 years, great. Bandwagon fans are awesome. Everybody's fandom starts somewhere. And I hope you'll stick around, you know, and hopefully the Dodgers will reward us with a couple more World Series titles in the next few years. But, you know, whatever it is, we're Dodger fans. We have the best stadium in baseball. We have the best uniforms in baseball. We have great ownership currently, not always, but currently we have great ownership that actually cares about putting a good product on the field. It's a great thing to be a Dodger fan. You know, it's a historic franchise. When you look at, you know, obviously Jackie Robinson, Sandy Koufax, Uncle Duke Snyder, although, you know, going back to then, Oral Hershiser, Fernando Valenzuela, and this current team, you know, Clayton Kershaw, there's been so much good about being a Dodger fan, and losing one series to the Braves doesn't change any of that. It just means that it sucks right now. And for me, that's what it boils down to. It was a great season that ended on a rough note, and it didn't have to. I really thought they had a chance after they won game five. I thought they had a chance, and they did have a chance, and they just didn't do it. The Braves played really well. They deserve a lot of credit. You know, they deserve to be in the World Series. And, you know, a lot of fans of a lot of teams can't admit that, you know, that you hear fans of teams that have never won anything or haven't won anything a long time. And they, you know, their favorite phrase is Mickey Mouse championship from last year for the Dodgers. You know what? Just don't even respond to those people, because they're not intellectually honest. If their team had won, they would be claiming it. I said before last season even started that regardless of how short the regular season is, as long as the postseason mostly resembles a normal postseason, whoever wins the World Series title is a legit winner. And in fact, it ended up being the hardest postseason of all time. So we'll always have 2020. Hopefully we won't have to lean on 2020 for 32 years like we did with 1988. Hopefully, you know, we will get some new highlights in 2022. And, you know, we'll see what the team looks like. We're going to spend a lot of time this offseason talking about the makeup of the team, you know, with all this stuff happening in free agency. Who knows what's going to happen? So much to talk about this offseason. But for today, I just want to just be a Dodger fan with you guys. This is, you know, it's a bummer. We're all kind of in this together. I really appreciate all of you. You know, it's been the funnest year of my life to be a Dodger fan because I've met so many of you. I've interacted with so many of you on social media, hearing you guys talking about this show. I love it. Just looking at the numbers and, you know, knowing those numbers represent real people, knowing that thousands of people every day come talk Dodgers with me, you know, or listen to me talk Dodgers anyway with Vince. It's awesome. And hopefully we'll do more, you know, actual talking with each other. Maybe we'll do some live episodes this off season. I don't know. We'll do some stuff, but we're going to have plenty of Dodger stuff to talk about. I can't wait. I'm already ready for spring training. I am excited that it's Christmas season now. In case you didn't know, the four seasons are spring training, baseball season, Christmas season, and January. And so now that the Dodgers are done playing baseball, it is officially Christmas season, which means I can stop pretending I haven't been listening to Christmas music for a month and a half. And you know what? That's what it is now. But pretty soon it's going to be pitchers and catchers report to spring training. We'll know what the Dodgers team is going to look like by then. And, you know, we'll be ready for another long, grueling, exciting, frustrating, all those words season for the Dodgers that hopefully will end with them hoisting the World Series trophy and me getting to once again refer to them as the world champion Dodgers. But for now, we've just got one more week of that before either the Astros or the Braves become the World Series champions. So we're going to live it up until then. Thank you for listening, not just today, all season long, and hope you'll keep staying with us in the offseason. We're going to try to make it fun. There's a lot of Dodger stuff to talk about. The Dodgers have a wealth of history, and, you know, I'm a stat nerd. I'll probably dig into some stat stuff. You know, I hope you'll keep listening. It's a lot of fun. If this is your first time listening, you know, go back and watch some of the other episodes, some of our more exciting episodes. And, you know, hopefully you'll keep coming back because we love doing this for you. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. For your next listen, your second listen today, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Aram Layton is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available on all platforms. And like I said, if you're not listening every day, please add one or two days a month to your rotation. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and go Dodgers.